Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Justin Klein listens to your questions.
Hey, this is George from Tom's River. I love your show. Listen to the podcast. So I'm looking at some of these cheap options on these growth stocks. Do you think an option for 2023 is a smart idea?
And provides unbiased answers.
So it's more about the underlying economic conditions, and what's driving this. What's driving this rotation is the dollar going down and interest rates going up.
InvestTalk, over 31 million downloads and counting.
Hi, Dave from Ohio. Love your podcast. I'm hooked. Listen to it every night. Your thoughts on annuities.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our May 17th, 2021 edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you all tuning in this hour. And as always, I'm going to do my best to help you make that next step in your financial journey, in your path towards financial freedom. It's going to take step after step after step. A lot of people want it to be one big giant step, but more often than not, it's just taking incremental steps and making good investment decisions. And some of those investment decisions turn out fantastic, some not so great. Others a lot better than you ever expected. But the more times that you can put the odds in your favor, the better chance you have of coming out on top. And that's really what investing is about. There's no guarantee. It's never easy. You never know the outcome. But once again, if you make solid, smart decisions with your money, then you will come out on top and you will find that financial freedom. And so in order to help you this hour, I'm going to operate with my mission statement, as always, which is independent thinking and shared success. I'm not Kramer. I'm not going to bang any bells or whistles. I'm just going to share with you my knowledge that I've developed over the last 20 years, as well as the data that I have in front of me to help you understand what's going on in the market, to explain different investment processes, to talk about individual stocks or an industry or an asset class. Whatever it is, I am going to present it all without bias. I'm just going to give you the facts as I see them. And I want you to share in our success. Now, I'm Justin Klein. I encourage you to contact us with your finance and investment questions. When you do that, you get to shape the show. So I encourage you to give us a call right now during our live stream program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or if you're listening after hours, you can leave a question on our Anytime Invest Talk voice bank. Either way, that number is always 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first listener question now.
Hey, this is George from Tom's River. I love your show. Listen to the podcast. You know, the growth stocks have been getting hit lately, and obviously you guys were talking about that for a while, about the cycle from growth to value, value to growth. So I'm looking at some of these cheap options on these growth stocks, and I wanted to know what you guys' opinion is about when you think the cycle will come back, that growth stocks will be devalued again. You know, when do you think the growth stocks will see an uptick? Do you think an option for the end of the year is a smart thing? Do you think an option for 2023 is a smart idea? If you can give your take, an opinion and take about how these long these cycles tend to play out, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Great question. Fantastic question, because you're really hitting on the ethos of what the market rotation is looking like underneath the surface. And it is that consistent underperformance of growth and outperformance of value, which is uncharacteristic of the past 14 years. And this trend started in September of last year, really when interest rates bottomed. Interest rates bottomed in August, and you know, it's never right on time, but it's about the same time. And these are long-term cycles. So growth has outperformed value since 2007. Okay?
And if you look back, 2007, you had the 10-year trading at about 5%.
Yeah.
You could get 5%. Now we're at 1.64. Everyone thinks, oh, interest rates are going up. We still potentially have a long way to go. And previously, the 7 years before that, from about 2000, remember, tech bubble bursting, that was the start of value outperforming growth into 2007. So that was 7 years where value outperformed, and the last 14 years, really, growth has outperformed value. Now, does that mean you're going to go through another 14-year cycle? Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 7, maybe it's 5, but it's bare minimum going to be 3 years, okay? Bare minimum. So it's more about the underlying economic conditions, and what's driving this. What's driving this rotation is the dollar going down and interest rates going up. As long as that trend continues, you're likely going to see value continue to outperform growth. Okay. Now, you get certainly get back to a level where growth stocks are undervalued and everyone is poo-pooing the idea of tech stocks, and the sentiment gets so bad, maybe that's a catalyst for jumping into some sort of buying call options or buying individual names, etc. But we're so far away from that. We're literally less than a year into this cycle starting. 9 months, really. 8, call it. So there's a long way to go here. And there are so many stocks that are still, after dropping 30, 40, 50%, are still drastically overvalued. Many of these names in the tech sector, in the growth side of the market, are going to go down 80, 90% from their peak. That's what happens. Once the tide turns, the market and investors start to focus on valuation and the fundamentals of the business, and away from just simply momentum. And a lot of the trade over the past 14 years has been driven by low interest rates, but also momentum investing, just chasing that return. And now the tide is going the other way. And you need to be aware of that and understand the underlying dynamics that are creating this shift. And once again, that is a weaker dollar and a higher interest rates and higher inflation. And so, in that environment, different types of stocks outperform, and that's typically value. So, as long as the fiscal policy is staying the way it is, I think you're going to see this continued trend. So, be patient and wait till everyone hates tech stocks. We're not even close to that yet. You're listening to Invest Talk, and my focus point today is based on the story, How to Win a Real Estate Bidding War. Real estate market's obviously heating up, and I'm going to break down that for you. But how did the market do today? We're going to check in right now. Let's look at the S&P. That was down 10 points. Modest down day on the S&P. The NASDAQ, that was down a little bit more. So 10 points on the S&P, about a quarter of a point down. NASDAQ was down 50 points, which is a little more than a quarter. So slightly worse performance there. But if you look at the equity style boxes over at Morningstar, it's always a great read. And you can see definitely the growth side underperformed. Mid-cap growth was down nearly 1%. Small-cap value was up 0.75%. And gold really broke out today. You saw that Bitcoin and crypto, I've been saying this for the last couple weeks, I'm very cautious for the next, basically till 4th of July, on crypto. Anything crypto related, I think you're going to see a two handle on Bitcoin. Even Ethereum, while has relative strength, is also in a downtrend. Dogecoin, all those things, that the whole narrative space is kind of coming undone. I said we're past the point of the March 2000. We're now, the tide has turned, okay? And you have to be aware of that. And what's undervalued to me is gold. The fact that inflation has been heating up, that so much money has flown into supposedly a hard currency in Bitcoin, and gold has not really done a whole lot over the past 9 months or so. Since August, it peaked, right? The GDX peaked at about 40, 45? Went all the way down to about 31. Now we're back to 40. So really gold has not gone anywhere when the equity markets, copper, all the other commodities have gone up. So I think there's still a lot of room there to go. Okay? And the 10-year, that was about flat, about half a basis point there. But mainly, modest down day, and commodities continued to break out, and that should not shock anybody. Now we're heading into a quick one-minute break, and I'm ready to answer your finance and investment questions right now. So give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin have recorded a special bonus podcast. It's a fast-paced learning podcast for the average investor. It's free, so be sure to tell your friends. It can be downloaded now at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and investtalk.com. Look for Rapid Fire Hour.
Let's head over to a local caller, to me anyway. Talk to Vic in Los Angeles. He's looking at Blackstone, and do you own it or looking to buy it?
Looking to buy it.
Okay. Why do you want to buy it? What's your thinking?
I'm just looking for kind of a diversified holdings group, kind of like a Berkshire. And it's had some really good momentum, but I'm just wondering if that'll keep up and whether or not their dividend is stable.
Okay. Well, I definitely wouldn't call this a diversified type of company. They're very focused in the finance sphere. Real estate, private equity, hedge fund, credit insurance. Berkshire is far more diversified, from industrials to companies like Geico and the like. So they're far more diversified. This is very asset management, financial services driven, and that's what's really driving the results recently, is the fact that financials are doing better, and they have a lot of real estate holdings, and real estate prices, as you know, have gone kind of crazy. So that's really driving the price momentum. Now the question is on the dividend. Well, if you look at history of this, their dividend's all over the place. 2011, they paid 62 cents a share in dividends. 2012, down to 52, then all the way up to $2.90 in 2015, then down to $1.66 in 2016, back up to $2.32. They've been growing it up to $2.42 in 2018, and then $1.91 last year. So their dividend is all over the place. So this is not one of your consistent dividend payers by any stretch of the imagination. And historically, their profitability is very up and down, and has averaged, return on equity has averaged probably in the low teens over the last decade or so. But trailing 12 months, 58%. So you're kind of buying it at the high end of this cycle. And so my answer is, I think this is a very poor entry longer term. Now, near term, financials will likely get a tailwind. But I would be very wary of this at these valuations longer term. So I'm going to give this a thumbs down, unless it's just some sort of near term momentum trade. Thanks for the call, Vic. Let's go to Ramiro in San Jose, looking at, is it TTCF?
Hi, hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah. I have a question about Tattooed Chef, ticker symbol TTCF. I have some holdings around $23, and it's been hovering under $20 for quite some time. And I'm curious as to wondering what you feel about adding more, or should I just continue to hold?
Okay. So this is Tattooed Chef. They manufacture plant-based prepared food and ingredients in California and Italy. So this looks like kind of a smaller Beyond Meat. Would that be a good way to describe it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it has pulled back. You're right. It's down 37% from its 52-week high. Supposed to lose 7 cents this year, but make 30 cents next year. Revenue is growing at about 60% last quarter, even though they lost money. Is that just really your thesis here? Is that it's a smaller way to play the trend of, I guess, maybe a cheaper way to play the trend of plant-based protein?
Yeah, I mean, right now my average cost base is $23. I don't have too much invested in it, but I mean, based off the numbers that I'm seeing, it seems promising, but
yeah. Well, let me look at this, and I'll answer you right after the break. You're listening to Invest Talk. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Look at the calendar. We're already moving through the second quarter. The market has been interesting. And serious investors need to bring their best game. InvestTalk is here to help. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review.
I know, we're talking to Ramiro. He's looking at Tattooed Chef. And this is an interesting one. I was looking at it over the break, and I don't mind the chart. It's making higher highs and higher lows, even though it's pulled back here. It still stayed above its December low, which is right around $14 a share. Now we're at 18.01, crossed the 50-day moving average, sorry, the 20-day moving average over the last couple of trading days, and that's a positive. And it's not terribly overvalued if you're looking at it on a price-to-revenue multiple. It's trading somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 or 7 times revenue. It's not that profitable, so that's what worries me the most in this environment. Non-profitable companies are tend to struggle. So
yeah,
my out would be 14. If it breaks 14, that tells me, okay, it's no longer making higher highs and higher lows. It's now making a lower high. Sorry, excuse me, a lower low. And so that would be my out. I don't mind picking up more because the trend over the longer term is still up, and it's not egregiously overvalued. I just don't love the name because it's so new and there's not a whole lot that I can really glean from its business except for the fact that it's growing nicely, but not in a profitable way, but that's not unusual. So I would just have my out at 14. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Herbert in San Antonio. He wants to talk about the market.
Hi, Justin. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I have a question regarding a company. It's Compass Diversified Shares of Beneficial Interest, ticker symbol is CODI. And I'm looking to take a position in that company. I'm just asking, basically, is this a good number to go in, or should I wait for a little pullback? What are your thoughts?
Okay, so this is CODI. It's diversified. What are its brands? Let me look at its brands here. Looks like in the biking sector. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I'm sorry.
It looks like its brands are in the biking sector. Is that correct?
Yes, the finance sector.
Oh, see, this is diversified. I'm trying to really understand this business here. Industrial. Yeah, I don't understand what they do exactly. Do you have any insight onto that?
Like a little mini Berkshire. They purchase other companies. They purchase them and they manage them. And they're kind of under the radar. So I was hoping to get more info on that. They look like a solid company. They do have a lot of cash flow.
Got it. Okay. It did have a pretty nice sell-off last week. It was actually a pretty bearish move on the chart. So I will say that. That definitely worried me technically, although it is still above major moving averages and longer term is fine. Supposed to make $2.24 this year after losing money last year. Let me look. If it's a mini Berkshire, then their profitability has to be very, very strong. And it's really all over the place, to be honest with you. Even though cash flows continue to go up here. You know, reasonable valuation. I can't say it's overvalued. I wouldn't say it's necessarily undervalued either. But once again, my worry is that recent move. It needs to repair that. It needs to get back above $27 a share for me to see this move last week as just a blip. So valuation, it's okay. And chart-wise, it's good but weakening, and that worries me. So I would be patient on this until you get some resolution on the chart, which I'm not there yet. Thanks for the call. Now, do I have time to fit in my focus point? Well, maybe I can start and finish on the other side of this break. And what we're talking about today is basically a bidding war. And according to Redfin, 74% of offers faced bidding wars last month in the real estate world. And on average, every home sold in the month of March had five offers on it, according to the National Association of Realtors. And I've said this before, how the moratorium on mortgage foreclosure and rent evictions are really driving this lack of supply. Everyone's going to say, oh, people don't want to sell their homes. Well, people don't want to sell their homes or move out when they're not paying their mortgage or not paying rent. Why would they move somewhere else where they're going to have to? That's a big factor in this. Most people point to COVID and not wanting to move, but I don't really think that's the case. At least that's not what I'm seeing. But the big question is, if you do want to buy a house, which I always encourage people right now to be patient, it has to be really the right move for you. And you can do some basic things if you are really still trying to buy a home, getting pre-approved, that's pretty clear. But preparing is the key. Understand your market. Look at homes priced below your budget. Because guess what? You're likely going to have to get into some sort of a bidding war. And you want to still be able to afford it if you have to go up from the asking price. And you have to know, how much do you value different aspects of the home? How much do you really love it in order to get into a bidding war? Because guess what? In this environment, you better really love your home. You better be in there for 10 plus years if you're going to buy in this market. So I'm going to pick this up on the other half of the break, but I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
From sunrise to sunset.
I have a question about gold and silver.
From dusk till dawn.
So I'm wondering what y'all think.
The questions keep coming.
I have a question about symbol STLD.
From down the street, around the corner, and across the country.
Hello, Steve, Justin, Milani here from Bay Area.
This is Curtis from Alabama.
Hi, Steve. This is Gary from Massachusetts.
InvestTalk listeners have one objective. Financial freedom.
Your opinion on Costco.
How they get there and when they get there is up to them.
I have started investing.
But Steve Peasley and Justin Klein can help improve their strategy with unbiased investing guidance.
I really enjoy the podcast. I think I'm finally starting to understand the language and what to look for.
Thank you very much.
Listen live or download the podcast, investtalk.com.
Now that the economy is coming back to life, you may find that you are ready to travel again for business or pleasure. But what if you could experience a faster and effortless way to move through security at airports and beyond? Let me tell you about the Clear Network. It allows you to create what they call frictionless journeys. It's not a dream. The Clear Network is real, and you can join now. With Clear touchless entry, you can fly safer and easier. Their secure identity platform lets you use just your face or eyes to move quickly and smoothly through security at more than 50 airports, plus stadiums, concert halls, and other venues nationwide. Enrolling is quick and easy. No appointment necessary. Get started online and finish at the airport with the help of a friendly Clear ambassador. And you can begin using Clear immediately. Clear members can add up to 3 friends or family members to their account for a discounted rate of only $50 each per year. Plus, kids under 18 can tag along for free. Go to clearme.com/investtalk and use code investtalk. That's clearme.com/investtalk. And right now, for a limited time, you can get your first 2 months of Clear for free. clearme.com/investtalk. Use code InvestTalk. Join the over 5 million people who already travel and move easier through security. Go to clearme.com/investtalk and use the code InvestTalk.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Justin Klein is here now and ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, before the break, I was touching on the real estate market and the things you can do to really be successful, not just in this market, but really any market. And I talked about getting pre-approved, preparing, understanding the market so that your offers make sense in light of the underlying situation and the underlying dynamics of that market. Another is to have everything lined up when you're making your offer. When I say that, I mean your inspector, your lawyer, all the things that are going to happen. Know that, make sure the seller knows that you're organized to make this actually close, that you're very serious and ready to get to work to check all the boxes that are needed. So maybe even having the inspection already on the schedule. That's a good one. Okay. Also, don't renegotiate over stupid stuff. Obviously, there's major things, pipes leaking and foundational issues, etc. But if there's scratches on a banister or a broken window, you should have seen that. So don't update your offer based on that. And then be flexible on move-in dates, move-out dates. A lot of buyers are giving the sellers week, 2-3 weeks to move out of the home once closing finishes. So free rent for a short period of time. And then lastly, stay cool. Don't get into a bidding war unless you are 100% sure. Okay? It's a tough environment. Now let's go to Mike in Arizona looking at AT&T.
Yes, hello. Justin, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what your thoughts are on AT&T going forward. After this Discovery deal, there's talk that AT&T might cut its dividend.
If that's are going to cut their dividend, yes.
Yeah. Knowing that, is this the stock worth owning? What are your thoughts?
You're not going to get the big popping headline 7% dividend yield, but I've always said buying a dividend is about buying the company, the underlying value that you're getting by owning that company. It's still going to be a healthy dividend. It's just not going to be 7%. And I actually think this deal is smart for AT&T. They're basically spinning off a non-core asset, which is the Time Warner deal, and combining it with Discovery. Both have great content, and the media industry right now is one where you need scale and you need distribution. And AT&T has that with, or at least the Time Warner section has that with the HBO Max platform. And I think the Discovery content on there is going to be very good, high value. And there's a lot that them as a combined entity can do. And so I think that is a smart strategy. They're also avoiding some taxes. They're getting some debt off of their balance sheet, about, I think, $47 billion of debt. And so I think the new entity, the new AT&T entity, will be streamlined. It will have a better balance sheet. Yes, the dividend might be lower, but they will free up cash to potentially buy back shares, invest in broadband and 5G. And so I like this strategy. I think the leadership at AT&T under John Stankey has been very, very good, much better than the previous CEO, Randall Stephenson. And I'm a fan. The market's is selling off a bit. It was down about 2.5% today. It's down a little bit more in after hours as well. And I think a lot of it is just focusing on that dividend cut. But as always, you have to look at the entire picture, and they're cutting the dividend because they're carving out a large portion of their revenue, of their profits, And so it'll be a smaller entity, but I think it'll be one that treats shareholders a lot better. And a lot of people don't like the Time Warner deal, but they're carving it out at a higher valuation than they actually bought it for. So think of what happened with Yahoo and AOL and Verizon spinning off that. They did it at a loss. Well, they're actually doing this at a gain, and without the tax consequences. So I'm a fan of this move, and be buying on dips. Thanks for the call, Mike. Now let's keep things moving and go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank now for a question that came in earlier from North Carolina.
Hey, Steve and Justin, Jared in North Carolina, calling about QuantumScape, QS. Price has been falling for the past couple weeks. I think they have some interesting patents. However, it could just be another story stock. Just want to know your thoughts on it. Do you think it's a good opportunity to buy or stay away? Thanks. Love the show.
Well, it definitely is a story stock. It's 100% a story stock. It doesn't have any revenue. It's losing money. Now, the story is potentially very good, very, very impactful, very value accretive if it comes to fruition and they can perfect the technology in an economical way. Solid-state batteries. And there are other large companies working with QuantumScape to develop this, and it has a lot of potential, but still has a $10 billion valuation. And I've said I need this to be single digits in billions for me to get interested from a risk-reward standpoint. And we're getting there. I said in the teens, I'll wake up, I'll start looking at it. It's at 27 now, so we're not quite there. And it's in a downtrend, and you're right, it is a story stock. But once again, every story stock has its proper value for the odds that that story comes to fruition. And so I'm waiting for the teens, and then I'll start looking at it. Let's go to Steve in Canada, looking at now. Oh, Sid, I'm sorry. Let's go to Sid in Canada, looking at now.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Justin. I'm looking at this stock and trying to study all the parameters, excellent year-on-year quarterly growth, good profitability, all numbers looks good. I'm just trying to understand, since it's already above 450, what's the buying point, and I'm just looking for a long term. So I want to hear your opinion. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Yeah, looking at ServiceNow, and this is a very good cloud company. They have high retention rates, and it's hard to argue against the actual product, because the product is gained traction, so it's make $7 a share next year, but it is trading at $450 to $4 per share. So you're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of a 70-75 P ratio. That's pretty steep. Enterprise value to EBITDA right now is at 149 times. 15 times tends to be kind of expensive. Trading at about 18 times enterprise value to revenue. So this is the example of a growth name that is now falling out of bed. It's going to revert to the mean, shall we say, of what a reasonable valuation is. And I don't think we're there until $311 a share. I would be my starting place where I would think about owning this name. And this is on my list. This is a very good cloud name, but it's just trading at very high multiples. And so 245 would be where I'd be buying it aggressively. 311 is where I'd start thinking about it. Thanks for the call. Now, in almost every podcast, I like to reserve a minute to remind listeners about some of the benefits of working with myself and Steve at our office at KPP Financial in Irvine, California, where we offer unbiased guidance both on and off air, and we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free offer for a portfolio review assessment via telephone, Skype, or GoToMeetings. You can send us a message through investtalk.com or give us a call at our KPP Financial offices in Irvine, California at 800-557-5461. We'd love to help you in any way. No obligation. We can just talk and see how we can improve your situation. Next up, a caller question from Michigan, and that's in 1 minute.
There is good news for loyal InvestTalk listeners, their friends, and families. Steve and Justin have recorded a special bonus podcast.
Been listening for a while and have got some great advice.
This free podcast is available for download anytime. Typically, each day and night, the InvestTalk call center receives more voicemail questions than Steve and Justin can fit into a live show format.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show.
So in the bonus program, caller questions will be played back from our voice bank and answered with brief, unbiased, and helpful responses.
I think for like the next 10 years, commodities are going to be doing very well.
It's in the money. You probably just want to sell it.
It's a fast-paced learning podcast for the average investor.
Absolutely love your show.
It's free, so be sure to tell your friends. It can be downloaded now at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and InvestTalk.com. Look for Rapid Fire Hour.
Hey, Justin, this is Tim from Michigan. You've mentioned several times on the show the shift from the big tech names to the value side of the market. And I'm wondering, I still have a significant investment in Apple and Amazon. Would you recommend starting to reduce that somewhat and shift it to the value side? Or is there a particular percentage that we would still want to stick within, keeping some of the big tech names around, say 3 to 5%? Just wanted to get your advice on what we should do if we're currently invest on the tech side of the market, if we should shift that. Thank you.
Well, the answer is yes, you should shift it to some degree. How much depends on your overall strategy and which companies maybe you like better longer term. For example, we still own Apple for a lot of our managed accounts, even though, you know, we expect to kind of go through this consolidation period. We still like the company longer term. It's just maybe on the lower percentage of our traditional allocation to that particular to Apple. So we've reduced it some, and there will be a time, and it doesn't have to be 5-7 years from now. It can be for a quarter or two, where the underlying economic conditions favor growth stocks, and that will happen. Over the last 14 years, growth has outperformed value, but there were quarters, there were months, there were even years where value outperformed growth. So the underlying conditions can shift in the short to medium term, and you can overweight them or underweight them, and that's really where you're at now, is where you should be underweight those particular names, and also look at the eye of regulators, and that's a big factor here with big tech. I look at big tech similar to the railroads back in the early 1900s, and they just had a monopoly on the rail traffic, right? And you had that broken up with regulation, and I think that's going to happen with a lot of the big tech names, especially ones that are focused on collecting data and really utilizing that data to sell products and advertising, etc. And so to me, those are the type of names I definitely would be the most underweight. That's why Apple to us is the most attractive within the space, simply because it's not reliant on that. It's not reliant on collecting a bunch of data and selling it to advertisers. It's selling products, and they have an ecosystem that people use. So, you know, it's really just about finding the names from a risk-reward standpoint that you should be overweight or underweight. And in this environment, you should be overweight industrials, commodities, financials, those that benefit from weaker dollar and higher inflation. So hope that helped, and hope that gives some clarity, not just for you, the caller, but everyone else out there. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 10 minutes left in the show to get your call in. Now, let's touch quickly on cryptocurrency and taxes. I don't know if you know this, but there's been a couple of recent decisions by courts, one in Boston that approved an IRS summons for payment companies known as Circle and its affiliates to turn over customer records for cryptocurrencies. And in May, a federal judge in San Francisco approved another IRS summons for records for crypto exchange known as Kraken. So what they're going after are people that made a bunch of money on crypto and are not paying taxes on it. And this could, I think this is a big reason why a lot of money is flowing to crypto, because it's a lot easier to hide your trading. Brokers, they actually have to report stock sales and other information to the IRS so they can check tax compliance. That's why I don't know if you ever not reported interest income or dividend income from a broker brokerage account or a bank account. Even if it's small, the IRS will say, hey, you didn't report this. That's happened to me. I think I had one, it was a while ago. I think it was like $8 in interest that I received on some account that I forgot about and I didn't report it. Well, the IRS, throw me a letter. You need to report this $8. And so they're looking at the crypto space in the same way. In fact, in 2016, the IRS received approval to summon Coinbase and information about its 13,000 customers then. And that agency sent letters urging many of them to make sure that their crypto taxes were paid and that the IRS might take a hard look. So that was Coinbase way back in 2016. So the government is starting to look at crypto, and they're going to put a lot of regulation on it. And I think that's the biggest threat in the crypto space right now. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every week, is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do it right now at 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Jim in Seattle. He's looking at Ternium, which is a steel producer out of Luxembourg. Do you own it, or are you looking to buy it?
Looking to buy it, possibly. I was also looking at Steel Dynamics, and I don't know if I'm late to the game or not, but just thought I'd see what you thought about those.
Well, I do think that you're looking at an area that's a bit overbought right now and probably is going to cool over probably the balance of the year, say that. But I like the name. Historically, it has pretty good profitability. I wouldn't say it's best in the industry. One thing I do like is that it's globally diversified. It produces flat steel in Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, the southern U.S., Central America. So, I mean, I guess it's focused on the Americas. But in a business that historically is up and down, I like that it has a lot of production overseas. So if the dollar is going to decline, that will likely benefit their business. And it's producing a lot of cash flow, and it's doing very, very well in this environment. And if governments globally are going to stimulate via fiscal, using infrastructure as the main source, steel is going to be in high demand. And if you're going to green energy, you use a lot of steel in building cars and solar panels, etc. So I like what you're looking at. Do I like it more than Steel Dynamics? I would say probably. So I like what you're looking at, but I'd be waiting for an oversold dip to buy into. Thanks for the call. All right, looking in the clock, I think we can fit one more caller question right now. So let's grab it. This came in earlier from Ohio on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Dave from Ohio. Love your podcast. I'm hooked. Listen to it every night. My question is, I met with a financial advisor last week, and he's pushing me to buy an annuity, index annuity. My thoughts are, I could probably do a better job investing the money than an insurance company. Your thoughts on annuities? I'll be looking forward to your answer. Thank you.
clarify, you did not meet with a financial advisor. You met with a salesperson. He is not a financial advisor. He knows very little about, it's unlikely he knows much about the investment world. He's there to sell you a product. And he's going to get a huge commission, 8, 9, 10% by selling you that indexed annuity. You do not need it. If you want to index, you can go do it yourself using Betterment or some kind of robo-advisory service if you just want to do that. And if you, and that's going to be the better way to go, okay? Longer term, you will do much, much better. Remember, the reason that these insurance companies are paying huge commissions to the salespeople is because they're very profitable for the insurance company. Very profitable. And that's why they can give away, you know, 10% of the amount that you're purchasing to a salesperson. Because the fees are very, very high. So you do not need it. You need to run away from him. You need to go meet with a fiduciary. That person is not a fiduciary. They're a commissioned salesperson. And so you need to find a fiduciary, whether that's us or someone else in your area, that is a pure fiduciary. Not, oh, they have their Series 7 and they're a broker, but they're also an RIA. No. They need to be a pure fiduciary, hopefully just an RIA. They don't collect any commissions whatsoever. And then they will be able to drive your decision-making into an area that is beneficial for you, because that's what they have to. That's what we have to do for our clients. We have to act always in the best interest of our clients because we are a fiduciary. That salesperson or a broker does not need to act in your best interest. They're under what is called the suitability standard. And he's looking at you saying, this annuity is suitable for you. Even if it's not the best, it's suitable for you, meaning it has the right risk tolerance for you. But that's not the best way to execute your particular risk tolerance. Okay? But it is the best way to get him a big commission. So I hope you understand that dynamic, and I hope you look for somebody else to talk to. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads. They're for free over at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, and as always, InvestTalk.com. You can browse by topic as well, 401ks, crypto, real estate, growth stocks, tech stocks, whatever it is. It'll help you kind of hone in on the topics of interest. That's a tip for you and your friends. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.